Hi, this is Bill. Once again, I'm sitting in the sound room. We had a technical glitch on one of the lessons a couple of weeks ago. It's the third of God's final proof. It's the one about thinking that faith and belief are the same thing. I'm going to go through this again. I'm recording it so I can actually put it on the website. Like I said, it's different. It's just me sitting in the sound room instead of me talking to people. But let's see what happens. The first thing that I want to put forward is Galatians 3:1-14. When Paul says, "You foolish Galatians, who's bewitched you?" The whole idea that I've been following with God's final proof is that when God says through the apostle that if you don't love the truth, if you don't love God's word, which, you know, Jesus said, "What is truth? Thy word is truth." So that settles that. If you don't love the word, he will allow a deluding influence. He'll send a deluding influence, and you'll believe a lie. You'll believe nonsense. And you'll have irrational beliefs, and that you can't see what's right in front of your face. What I'm putting forward for the last several weeks and for a couple of weeks to come is that's going on right in front of everyone's face right now. People say, well, in the first century, God raised the dead, and Jesus gave eyesight to the blind, and he made the lame people walk, and he cured the lepers. And well, we have that today. What you have, miracles in the first century, were things that happened in front of your face that there was no natural explanation for. You couldn't say, well, this is how they did that. You can't do it. That's what miracle is. That shows you that this is God working. We've got the exact same thing today. We have the equal to the blind seeing and the lame walking and lepers cleansed, and we've got the equal to raising of the dead. People can't see what's right in front of their face. And it's, you know, it's proof, it's evidence. The first one I talked about was people can't even count to three. Jesus rose on the third day. Well, what's, you know, one day back from Sunday is Saturday. What, one day back from Saturday is Friday. And then the third day back from Sunday is Thursday. One, two, three. Thursday crucifixion. Third day would be Friday one day, Saturday one day, Sunday. Count to three. Simple as that. But the whole world can't see this. For 2,000 years, a billion people, and the Bible's the most studied book in the world, they can't see it. Well, you know, it has to be Friday because it's Sabbath. No, in John, it says for that was a high Sabbath. It's a Passover Sabbath. Jesus was crucified on the 14th of Nisan. The 15th of Nisan is a Sabbath, no matter what day it falls on. He was crucified on Thursday. Friday was a high Sabbath, the 15th of Nisan. Saturday was a regular Sabbath. He rose Sunday, 1, 2, 3. People can't see this. I consider that as good a type of evidence as raising the dead, because there's no explanation. People can't see what the word soon means. Revelation, the first verse says these things which are about to take place. Third verse, these things are near at hand. Throughout the whole book, I'm coming quickly. These things are going to happen soon. No one sees that. They still think Revelation is, you know, hadn't happened after 2,000 years. How do you explain people reading right in front of their face what they can't see? There is no natural explanation. Genesis, there's evening and there's morning and then day one, and people consider that the end of the day. Morning is the first of the day. How do you account for this? That's what I'm talking about. And there's a lot more than this. But this bewitching influence, this deluding influence where people can't see what's right in front of their face, it's completely evident today. It's supernatural. It has no natural explanation. And it's, you might as well have God raising the dead in front of everybody. It's that kind of evidence. There is no natural explanation. It's God's power, his word and his power in front of everybody's face. Now, what we're talking about today, faith, is evidence here in Galatians. You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Before whose eyes Jesus Christ was publicly betrayed, is crucified. This happened in front of your face, before your eyes. You saw this. This is the only thing I want to find out from you, Galatians. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by hearing with faith? Did you receive God's Spirit because of what you did, the efforts of keeping God's word? Or did you just hear it with faith? You did what God asked by faith. Baptism is what he's talking about. Are you so foolish? Having begun by the Spirit, you are now being perfected by the flesh. Did you suffer so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? So then, does he who provides you with the Spirit and works miracles among you do it by works of the law or by hearing with faith? Even so, Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. There's where people take off. Well, you see, they're just believe. If you believe God, God counts you righteous. Therefore, let's see the rest of it. Therefore, be sure that it is those who are of faith who are sons of Abraham. Now he's going to talk about what the faith of Abraham was. Verse 8, the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, all the nations will be blessed in you. That's what he heard from God. All the nations will be blessed in you. So then those who are of faith are blessed with Abraham the believer. For as many as are of the works of the law are under a curse, for it's written, cursed is everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law to perform them. Now that no one is justified by law before God is evident, for the righteous man shall live by faith. Well, you know, he's taking that directly from Abraham. However, the law is not of faith. On the contrary, he who practices them shall live by them. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it's written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, in order that in Christ Jesus the blessings of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so they would receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Now, people read this, and you know, millions and millions of people think, well, just believe. Faith equals believe. Abraham believed, and that's, you know, automatically. He was counted as righteous. That's not at all what he's talking about. And that's what we're going to talk about in this lesson here. The evidence that people can't see what's right in front of their face. They hear the word faith. They know what faith means in regular life. But when it comes to God, they're completely blank. They can't see. I want to start this by telling you that I woke up Friday morning, and it just happened that I turned the TV to a guy named Chuck Missler, who I've heard a lot of Chuck Missler. He's considers himself a Bible scholar. He was reading the exact verses that we're studying in 2 Thessalonians, including the deluding influence verse that I'm attempting to show you guys still exists today as undeniable evidence of God and the power of His Word. Now, Chuck was teaching what the verses meant in his view of Scripture, and with every point he made, he added, now there are Bible scholars who teach this means something totally different, and they could have a point. And my jaw hit the floor. What? He's stating that God could not write the meaning plainly in His Scriptures, and that these verses could mean what he's saying, but you know, these other scholars, they have a good point. It could mean what they're saying. You can't really know. That's saying God can't write worth anything. God can't write the Scriptures so you can understand what they're talking about. 1 Corinthians 14:33, written in Scripture, says God's not a God of confusion, but of peace. If you write something that's ambiguous and it could mean something, it could mean another, you're the author of confusion, my friend. He's saying God is what Scripture says God is not. Chuck can't see what's right in front of his face, but it never occurs to him that the deluding influence might be what allows all those other Bible scholars to teach that confusion of meaning exists in the writings of God. He doesn't even think about that. Who declares he's not the author of confusion? As I was just amazed. But this is evidence. You know, he's studying a verse that he can't see. Well, it could mean this, but they have a point. It could mean that. But what are you talking about? God says what he means. The whole Bible is supernatural. It says exactly what it means. There is no debate on what the Bible says. You have to start infusing your own meaning. You have to go, well, I know it says this, but you know, to interpret this correctly, no. God says what he means. He's not the author of confusion. If he didn't say what he means, he's the author of confusion, and the whole Bible is wrong. Instead of seeing faith as the absolute conviction in your mind that what God has said is true and unchangeable, he's not the author of confusion. Faith has now come to be seen as having the unchangeable conviction of what you believe God means to be true. In your heart's understanding of His Word. Understand? Instead of faith meaning what God says is unchangeable and true, faith now means my conviction is unchangeable and true. That is two polar opposite things. They are two totally opposite points of view. Now let's attach that point of view to biblical examples, and let's see which one of those is right. Now Abraham, that's how we started. Abraham by faith. Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. Romans 4:16. For this reason is by faith, in order that they may be in accordance with grace, so that the promise will be guaranteed to all the descendants, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, a father of many nations I have made you. Remember that in Galatians? A father of many nations I have made you? He's going back to that again in this verse. In the presence of him who he believed, even God, who gives life to the dead and calls into being that which does not exist, in hope against hope he believed, so that he might become a father of many nations according to that which has been spoken, so shall your descendants be. God says you will have descendants and there will be many nations. Well, is faith knowing that God's word is unchangeable and true? Or is faith thinking that my belief is what changes things? Because my unchangeable conviction means that my belief is what affects the change. Let's see. For without becoming weak in faith, he contemplated his own body, now as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb, yet with respect to the promise of God, he did not waver in unbelief, but grew strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully assured that what God had promised, there you go, what is faith? Being fully assured that what God had promised, he was able also to perform, therefore it was credited to him as righteousness. You get that? Faith is what God says is always true, is unchangeable by anything, even your conviction. Even Isaac's death couldn't change that Abraham was going to have descendants of many nations. He knew if he killed Isaac, God would raise him from the dead, because God's promise is unchangeable and true. Was it his own conviction that changed anything, or was it God's promise and his absolute conviction in God's promise, what God said? That's what faith is. Not the idea that it's my belief that affects anything. Think of the Pharisees. The Pharisees lied, attacked, intimidated, tricked. They used force, prison, torture, all these kind of things because of their unchangeable conviction in what they believed to be true in their understanding of God's word. Now, is that what Abraham did? No, it's the total, complete opposite. Their conviction was unchangeable. It didn't matter how many miracles Jesus did in front of their face. They had the unchangeable conviction that what they believed was true. That's the Pharisees. That's nonsense. That's a lie. That is, faith equals what I believe to be true is true, despite what God says or what anyone says. What I believe to be true is true, despite what anyone says. That is not faith. That's insanity. That's like me believing I'm a chicken. Well, if I believe I'm a chicken, with enough, faith, then I'll become a chicken. Really? But no, of course not. But if I believe with enough faith that I'm a Christian, I become a Christian. No. No. You don't become a Christian because you believe, just like you don't become a chicken because you believe. But people don't use their heads. They believe the lie that Satan's put out there. Faith is what you believe is true. Unchangeable conviction, that's what makes it true. True faith defined by Scripture is accepting, obeying what God's Word says in spite of what you believe and how you feel. How did Abraham feel about Isaac, killing Isaac? How do you feel about loving your enemies and doing good? Faith is accepting and obeying what God's Word is because His Word is unchangeable and true. That's what faith is. False faith, nonsense faith, is defined by Scripture, as in the Pharisees and such. The conviction of your beliefs and feelings is faith because they show God's true meaning of His Word. It's my conviction, my belief, that is faith, and it's my conviction about what I believe that counts as faith before God. What nonsense. That's the Pharisees. They had absolute conviction, unchangeable conviction in the face of miracles that Jesus wasn't Messiah. And you couldn't change their mind. And they killed him to prove it. They had a monstrous faith, but it wasn't scriptural faith. It has nothing to do with the faith that, through faith we're saved by grace. It's false faith. If you think God's Word is open to your opinion or your interpretation or your different meanings or debating or any confusion, if you think God's Word has any of that in it, you do not believe what God has said in His Word. He said simplicity of the gospel. He's not the author. If you believe that there's debate and confusion and there's interpretation and there's colors and nuance, then you don't believe it. You don't believe what the Word says, because the Word says there isn't. God says in His Word, and that's it. Your faith is your beliefs about God. Then you don't have any belief in God. If you think God's Word is open to opinion or debate or confusion, and you do not believe what God has said in His Word, word for word, then your faith is in your own beliefs about God, not in God. Just like the Pharisees. They knew Scripture inside, outside, upside down. But it wasn't what the words said, it's what the meaning they gave to the words. That's where their faith was. That's the way people are today. It's not what the Word says, it's what the meaning they give to the Word. That's the faith, the false faith of the Pharisees. That's the faith that crucified Christ. This lack of love for the truth, ignoring what's written and putting your own meaning to what's written, this lack of love for the truth of Scripture brings the deluding influence. Saying faith equals belief. God sees my conviction about my beliefs and not the content, because none of us are perfect. Nobody's going to have all the truth down pat. So what God's looking for is my conviction in what I believe. Nonsense. Absolute nonsense. Because the Pharisees had absolute conviction in what they believed. But 70 A.D. proves to you that God didn't accept it. To say that we're saved by believing with all our hearts is just nonsense. We are healed by believing with all our hearts that we're healed. Nonsense. The idea that belief changes reality. That's insanity. That's a person in a nut house. Well, I'm Jesus Christ. What do you mean? Well, I believe in my heart I'm Jesus Christ. Well, no, you're not. Well, how rude that you just don't accept my beliefs. As long as it's with crazy people in a hospital, not accepting their beliefs is just common sense. But move it into religion, and when you say, well, your beliefs aren't correct, well, that's just rude. That's just, how can you be like that? That deluding influence, it covers people's eyes, and they believe in absolute nonsense. Now, does Scripture say this, that belief and faith are the same thing? That whosoever believes in Jesus and were saved by grace through faith, therefore belief and faith are the same thing. Is that what it says? Or is it a delusion of people who refuse to see what the words say? Well, Matthew 9:20. And a woman who had been suffering from a hemorrhage of blood for 12 years came up behind him, Jesus, and touched the fringe of his cloak. For she was saying to herself, if I only touch his garment, I will get well. Ooh, belief. But Jesus, turning and seeing her, said, daughter, take courage. Your faith has made you well. And at once the woman was made well. Well, she believed it would happen, and she touched the fringe, and it happened. So belief made it reality. What? Did her belief change Jesus in any way? Obviously not. Did her belief change the properties of his cloak? No. Did her belief change her illness? No. Did her belief change anything? No. Not at all. Her belief didn't change anything. What he's saying is your faith has made you well. Her faith is seen as God says it. God's word is unchangeable and true. her faith was that God's Word says He is Messiah. She recognized who He was through the power and what He was saying and what He was preaching. He's the Messiah. He is meeting all the criteria of what God said Messiah would be. God's power says He's Messiah. God's message says He's Messiah. That He is Messiah cannot be changed because God says He's Messiah. It's unchangeable and true. Therefore, in her mind, if I touch Him as unclean, He cannot become unclean. Like the law says, you know, if something clean touches something unclean, it becomes unclean. That's unchangeable. He can't become unclean. He's Messiah. Therefore, if I touch Him, He won't become unclean. I must be made clean if I touch Him because of God's unchangeable Word. It's not her belief that changed anything. It's the unchangeable Word of God and her belief in that that made her well. Her faith that God says He's Messiah. If I touch Him, I'll be clean because He can't become unclean. He's Messiah, and that can't be changed. Faith all through Scripture is exactly this very thing. It's not what you believe. It's what God says is unchangeable. That's, you know, faith in that is actual faith. Same thing with Mark 10, verse 47. When he heard that it was Jesus the Nazarene, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Many were sternly telling him to be quiet, but he kept crying out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stopped and said, "Call him here." So they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take courage, stand up, he's calling for you." Throwing aside his cloak, he jumped up and came to Jesus, and answering him, Jesus said, "What do you want me to do for you?" And the blind man said to him, "Rabboni, I want to regain my sight." Jesus said, "Go, your faith has made you well." Well, he believed that Jesus could do it, and that's what made it possible. Nonsense. His belief, did it change Jesus? Was he Messiah, not Messiah? Then did he not have the power and suddenly he had the power? Is that what? No, it changed Jesus. Did it change Jesus' mind about it? No. Did it change his eyes from it? No. His belief didn't change anything. His faith is what made him see, and his faith is based on God's unchangeable Word. Isaiah 29:18. On that day the deaf will hear words of a book, and out of their gloom and darkness the eyes of the blind will see. The afflicted also will increase their gladness in the Lord, and the needy of mankind will rejoice in the Holy One of Israel. And in verse 5, then the eyes of the blind will be opened and the ears of the deaf will be unstopped. God's Word said, when the Holy One of Israel walks among you, the eyes of the blind will see. God's Word can't be changed. So he goes to the Holy One of Israel. Notice he kept calling him Son of David, Son of David. He knew who he was. He's the Holy One of Israel. He's the Messiah. God's Word says Messiah, when he comes, will make the blind see. So by faith that God's Word can't be changed and is, you know, eternal and true, he went to the Holy One and said, "I want to see." And Jesus said, "Your faith has made you see." His faith wasn't belief. His faith was God's Word is unchangeable. That's what faith is, and it's always this. His belief was not that something will change, but what God has spoken cannot be changed. That's true faith. Third and last one, Romans 14, verse 5. One person regards one day above another. Another regards every day alike. Each person must be fully convinced in his own mind. I see there? Conviction. It's your conviction that makes things right or wrong, true or bad, clean or unclean. This is what people take from this. Your conviction, your heartfelt belief is what matters. Because Paul says you must be fully convinced in your own mind. Verse 14. I know and am convinced in the Lord that nothing is unclean in itself, but to him who thinks anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. Well, see there, that just ruins everything I've said, doesn't it? What you believe changes things. If you believe it's clean, it's clean. If you believe it's unclean, it's unclean. So it's belief that matters. What really matters is what you're convinced of in your heart, what you believe in your heart, that changes everything. See, even Paul admits this. Really? No. People don't see what's right in front of their face in this verse, in this chapter. People can't see what is right in front of them. Because people go to this, he who thinks anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. It's my conviction, it's my belief that makes things what they are. They don't see. They can't see the first verse. Romans 14:1. Look at what it says in the first verse that all the rest of this is talking about. Now accept the one who is weak in faith, but not for the purpose of passing judgment on his opinions. One person has faith that he may eat all things. Why? Because God says all things are clean, and what I've made clean, don't you call unclean. But he who is weak, it means going on his opinions. You hear what he just said? Except the one who's weak in faith, but don't pass judgment on his opinions. What they're saying, what he's saying here is, but the person who is weak eats vegetables only to avoid clean or unclean meat. He's saying that person is weak, is lacking faith, is living on opinion. You understand? The one who believes, you know, Paul says, I know all things are clean. I believe and convinced in the Lord that all things are clean because he knows what God says can't be changed. This person that believes something is unclean and then to him it's unclean, not to God, to him. Because he's living on his opinions. And the whole idea here is he doesn't have faith. Faith can never equal what you believe to be true. This verse points it out. This person lacks faith who believes that something is unclean despite what God says. This is the end of it. Well, you know, faith and belief, faith is I believe that. No, no, no. You're not. You're deluded. You have a spirit of delusion that's hiding your eyes because you don't love what God said. So you insert your own opinions and then you make your convictions unchangeable about your opinions and you have fallen, you foolish Galatians. Who has bewitched you? How can you be so deluded that you ignore what God has said? The one that believes things are unclean, to him they're unclean, that's only to him. The whole idea here is they don't have faith. But, you know, accept them as weak, accept them as lacking faith, but don't pass judgment. Hopefully love will show them the truth. But don't call belief and faith the same thing. It's not. Faith is knowing what God says can't be changed. It's not your opinion of what you think is right and wrong, clean or unclean, true or false. This, you know, Romans 14 pretty much puts an end to that. That's the whole evidence that's in front of everybody's face. Third day, but they can't count to three. Morning, but they think that the morning is the end of the day instead of the start. Soon, quickly, near at hand, but they're still waiting 2,000 years later. Lack of faith equals trusting your own belief, your own opinion. That's what Romans 14 says. They can't see it. They say my beliefs are now evidence of faith. Because God judges conviction, not content. That's delusion. That's false. Well, you know, I think that church over there, they don't follow exactly what the Bible says, but I'm sure their faith and conviction is what got... No. They're false. They're wrong. They're Pharisees. They crucify Christ. You took the body of Christ and nailed it to a cross. That's crucifixion. What are they doing to the body, the Word of God that we have now, the Scriptures? They tear it, they beat it, they scourge it, and they nail it up to get it out of the way. No different. People today still are crucifying the Word of God because of their opinions. Don't say faith equals belief because everything in the Bible says it does not. And with the truth written and preserved in front of all of the world's face, the world is lost in delusion. They can't count to three. They don't know what soon means. They don't know what morning means. And they don't know what faith means. And all of this is evidence of God's power and God's Word. Is there a natural explanation that people can't see what's in front of their face? Millions of people for 2,000 years can't see what's right in front of their face. Is there a natural explanation? No. No. It's undeniable evidence of God's power and God's Word. It's supernatural is the only explanation. And God could just as well raise people from the dead and people still won't believe what He says in His Word. Does God's Word say what you believe? Or do you believe what God's Word says? That's your choice. How many people think that God's Word says what they believe? Millions and millions and millions. How many people believe what God's Word says? Straight, narrow, few there be that find it. God wants to prove to you which is which through the evidence of this deluding influence. The whole point is, will you let Him? Or will you trust your own unchangeable conviction about what you think is true, rather than reading what God says is true in His book? It's all up to you. Make a choice.